Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we just love you so much. Thank you, Lord, that you show us things to come, that events don't come upon us like a thief in the night, that you've not left us orphans to find our way through a dark and lost world, but by your Spirit you reveal to us things that are coming so that we can always be in that place of safety no matter what we see going on around us. Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, this is the last night of these services. With all of my heart, Father, I yield this vessel to you. Have your way here. Say what you want to say and do what you want to do. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be opening up to John 14. Now, to help me, how many are here for this is your first night to be able to come for these services? Okay, we've got several. All right. How many of you know that in Proverbs, it's called the Book of Wisdom, is it not? There's seven Hebrew words that are translated wisdom. And the Hebrew language is a unique language in that every word also carries a picture, carries images with it, as well as understanding. One of the words for wisdom that's used in the Book of Proverbs carries the picture of a nail. For the longest time, we didn't know what that meant. But the truth that the Holy Spirit is conveying by that is, wisdom is that which is pounded in. How many of y'all learned your ABCs by repeating them once? How about your multiplication tables? You understand? So the reason I'm saying that is we're going to... Now, where's the Holy Spirit tonight? Where's Wayne? He'll be back in a minute. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to switch comforters on you right in midstream here. We're going to go through an illustration in a minute, but I need to wait till Wayne gets back up here. What we've been studying on this week is really the difference between a good idea and a God idea. And man has all kinds of good ideas, and it's not that you won't get a reward for that. Jesus says you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. We're not coming against anything that anybody's doing. I mean, it's good to have good children's ministries. We're not against that. It's good, to have, in some larger churches, they'll have a deaf section where the people that are deaf can come, and so they'll have somebody who can sign, do that deaf signing thing so that the deaf people can understand. Some churches, they'll even have a fund or a drive to gather funds in order to provide hearing aids for deaf people that can't afford it. And see, all of those things are good, and I don't believe anybody will lose their reward. But see, if the Father gets to have His way, how many of you know that God our Father has a different plan for deaf people than hearing aids?
Amen.
God our Father has a different plan for deaf people than signing in a deaf section. Now that's what we're talking about. None of those things are wrong. But we're trying to go from what man can do, good ideas, to what God can do, which are called God ideas. If that's going to really happen, then our thinking, one of the things I read to you last night that the Holy Spirit said, our thinking has to be elevated above the ways of man. And we have to get it in our head that accompanying us, not only is the Holy Spirit in us, He is accompanying us everywhere we go, every single day. And if that awareness doesn't become a true reality with us, then we're pretty well going to always be limited to what man can do, and our thinking will be limited to what man can do. Now, again, wisdom is that which is pounded in, so we're going to go through this illustration again. Now, part of wisdom is whenever you're visiting in another pastor's church and you're going to do a visual demonstration, always make the pastor out to be Jesus. Come here, Jesus. Never make the pastor out to be the devil or anything like that. Now, and this is good for all of us to see this again. It's so simple. difference. He said, you know, that old saying, one picture is worth a thousand words, is true. You may or may not remember everything that was said this week, but I bet you this image will stay with you a long time. All right, now, what we're fixing to do here is, in the days of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus walked the earth in his own physical body, we're going to have Pastor Jim here represent Jesus during that period of time. Okay? There was disciples that followed him. I'll just stand here and represent Peter, since he's the one that always opened his mouth and got in trouble. I'll be Peter. And I've forsaken all to follow this man. I gave up my fishing business. I've done everything. I have hinged my whole life to follow this man. But see, I can see him. I can touch him during that period of time. If he speaks to me, I can hear him. So really, following him was not that difficult for the 12. Start going and I'll follow. And for benefit of the tape, Jim is walking. Jesus, representing Jesus, is walking around the front of the sanctuary. And because I can see him, then I can follow everywhere that he goes. So every day, you led well, Jesus. Every day, you know, like as those journeys would happen, and they'd go all throughout Judea and all parts of Israel. You know, maybe they'd have a campfire some nights and sleep in the open ground, but in the next day, it wasn't a big quandary. Peter didn't have to go off and fast and pray, is what I'm saying, to understand what they were going to do. He's just going to follow Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, he knows how to follow him. But understand, he could see him. He could understand the words. Yesterday we gave the demonstration. I think it'd be good again. Like, we're trying to get instructions that come from the mind of Christ, are we not? Okay? So give me that instruction that we did last time.
Okay, I'm getting ready to go into Jerusalem. So what I want you to do is go over there, and you're going to find a colt tied up. Get that colt and bring it to me.
Well, I'm happy to do that, Jesus, but I have a question. Okay. Now, what if the owner comes out while I'm untying his coat? What do I tell him?
Peter, when he comes out and confronts you, you just tell him that the Lord has need of it, and he'll let you have the colt.
All right. Then I know what to do. Now, see, Peter could literally hear the words of Jesus with his physical ear, just like we heard them right then. Now he knows what to do. And notice it was even okay for him to ask a question if he didn't fully understand. And Jesus would respond, and he understood what to do. All right? Now, thank you very much, Jesus. Look in John 14. Did I have you turn there? Good. Hallelujah. Because starting in John, around chapter 14, Jesus is beginning to prepare his disciples for the day that he's about to depart and go be with the Father. Now, if you're Peter or one of the 12, this is alarming news. You have forsaken everything. You have put everything on the line to follow this man. And for three and a half years, you've been following him. You could see him. You saw the works that he did. You could ask him questions and get answers. And get them immediately, by the way. And now he's telling you he's leaving? Wouldn't that alarm you? So Jesus is quick to tell them. Now look here in John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now everyone say another.
Another.
Say another means different.
Another.
All right, now, you saw a while ago, I'm still Peter. And who was the first comforter? Jesus was the first one, because now he's saying, I'm going to send you another comforter. Now, to represent the Holy Spirit, Wayne, come on up. Because I'm having someone come up that you can see, first of all, because we have to get it in our mind when Jesus says another comforter, it is a different person. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. You got that? These are two different persons. Now again, right here is where you hold your hand over your left ear. We don't want your brain to start leaking out your left ear. Because if we think about this too hard, you know, God is one. There's only one God. Yet God is three. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You know? And we get to thinking about that in our finite minds. We you know, if you think about it too hard, your brain is going to start leaking right out your left ear. That's right. See? But we know it's true, right? There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So, first off, I want this visual demonstration. You can see that Wayne is different from Pastor Jim. They don't look the same. All right? The Holy Spirit is a different person from Jesus. Now, if we could see the Holy Spirit, go ahead and lead like he did a while ago, and I'll follow you for a moment. See, in the past, we'd kind of like it if we could see the Holy Ghost. How many of you would be willing to follow the Holy Ghost if you could see the rascal? You see? See, this is where we have the difficulty. Because we are so used to being led by our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we perceive, and that kind of thing. But please go sit down. Now, as Wayne goes to sit down, understand the Holy Spirit is still here. Standing right next to me, he's also seated right next to you, and right next to you, and right next to you. And get this, hold your hand over your left ear. He's also in you. He's in you and with you at the same time, and he's in and with each and every one of us at the same time. You got that hand on your left ear? You okay? Because really, see, here's the difference. Now, here's the Holy Spirit. Again, think about me as being Peter. For three and a half years, I could follow Jesus because I could see him. I could hear him. I could get my instructions directly from him. And even if I had questions, I could ask him and get immediate answers, by the way. But now, all of a sudden, Jesus has sent another comforter. He is a real person. He doesn't, by the way, speak on his own authority. He is the go-between, if you will, between Jesus on the throne and the disciples on earth. What he hears, that's what he speaks. Okay? So he's not taking the place as Lord. Understand, Jesus is Lord. Got that? And there's no competition between the Holy Ghost and Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the agency by which we receive, and it can come by vision, by voice, by dreams, by just revelation. He has many ways of communicating the mind of Christ to us. But we have difficulty, see, because we prefer to have somebody physical to follow. But now, I'm supposed to follow the Holy Spirit in exactly the same way that Peter followed Jesus. Can you see the dilemma? In order to follow a spirit, you're going to have to be able to spiritually discern where he's going, what he's saying, and what he's showing you. And you have to learn how to discern it spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Didn't know exactly we were going there, but that's okay. I'm not Lord anyhow. Jesus, Sue said, thank you, God, that Gary's not Lord. Hallelujah. Now, actually, the verse we're going to look at is talking about, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to really start in verse 12, and I guess we'll just comment as we go here. How many of y'all are born again? Can I see your hands? Based on your testimony, and I agree with it 100%, this passage is written to born-again people. So it's written to you. Now, having been born again, now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit, notice that's little s, and it should be. It's talking about a new nature. But the spirit which is of God. Well, why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now notice, God had to change your spirit. He had to give you a spirit that has the capacity to know these things. And tonight we're talking specifically about being able to follow the Holy Ghost by perceiving and understanding spiritually instead of with your soul or your senses. Let's keep going. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Let's stop right there. Let me lead you in a confession. I thank you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost is my teacher. Gary's teaching. I appreciate that. But he's teaching me what the Holy Ghost taught him. Ultimately, Holy Spirit, you are my teacher. That's good. That's good. We're teaching things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now get this. The natural man, and actually right there he's talking about an unborn again person. someone who's not yet received this spirit, this nature, which is from God. But I'm telling you, you could almost as just as well put the carnal Christian, the person who refuses to ever spend time with the Holy Spirit, the person who just doggedly determines, I have to understand and perceive everything with my five senses or I will not walk that way. See, that natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, get this, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the point he's trying to make here tonight, in order to follow the Holy Spirit, who is a person whom you cannot see in the natural, you cannot hear normally in the natural, in order to follow somebody like that who is a spirit, you have to develop the capacity to spiritually discern him. We want to be led by our soul, by the five senses, by the intellect. It's not going to happen that way. These things are spiritually discerned. I'm going to try and get that down even lower. Gary, get it down to belt high. Okay. What I'm talking about is this. The biggest trouble I have found, and I could probably get witnesses here from Jim and others, trying to follow the Holy Spirit is my soul normally gets in the way. My intellect, my carnal knowledge, my history, my experiences in life normally try and override what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. I will give some examples here in a little bit. But now, can you see this? You can't follow the Holy Ghost unless you can spiritually discern where He's leading. That's why we keep, and even in that word of prophecy that came at the beginning of the service, we keep pointing you to the prayer closet. We keep pointing you back to spending time with the Holy Ghost. Why? To develop, sharpen, enhance your ability to spiritually discern. See, when He comes, when you're spending times, especially praying in other tongues, that is the purest operation I know, to put your born-again spirit in face-to-face direct communication with God the Holy Ghost, the one who's been sent to lead you in the first place, the one who's been sent to teach you in the first place. When you are spending times praying in other tongues, your spirit man, the part of you that's literally born of God, is in face-to-face direct contact and communication with the Holy Ghost. It is the number one thing you can do to sharpen, hone, enhance your ability to discern spiritual things. Y'all quiet because you're interested? Okay, good. Boy, it's quiet in here. All right? Now, most of the time, when the Holy Spirit really comes with a God idea, my soul comes up with two objections. Here's the two objections. When you really hear God and you hear what He wants you to do, here are the two things that normally rise up. When you finally just... See, because what's... Yes, sir. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me go back to that previous paragraph. See, what the communication between... God, is the Holy Spirit by definition a spirit? Is God by definition a spirit? Are you His child?
Yes.
Then at your core, what are you?
Spirit.
See? So, to spirits, the reason that communication between you and the Holy Spirit is it's so important that it be spirit to spirit, that's where the transfer of information... How many of y'all think you're going to instruct the Holy Ghost on stuff? You're not telling Him nothing that He don't already know. Now, this communication, He's instructing your spirit man, the part of you that's really born of God. He's not only teaching you the truth from God's Word, but He's beginning to impart information to you concerning your call. You see, the Holy Ghost is not going to waste your time. He's not going to teach me a lot of stuff about being a prophet when He's called me to be a teacher. Now, it's not that He won't teach me a little bit or something, but He's more interested in you finding and walking in your call than you are. He's not going to waste your time. So when you begin spending that direct communication, first that communication flow, I mean it's direct from the Holy Ghost to your spirit. Dave likes to give this analogy. Let's say you're going to spend 1 hour in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. What I mean by that is you're going to spend 1 hour praying in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2, what does it tell us? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. How be it in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, right there, I like to stop, and I'm not going to do it for your sake, but a lot of times I'll say, how many of you right now, if you could just talk with me one-on-one, one of the things you'd like to know is, how do I really find out once and for all what I'm called to do? And I usually get a lot of hands, you know. Because wouldn't you say then that for most born-again people, even their calling at this point is a mystery to them? Do you reckon it's a mystery to the Holy Ghost? You reckon He knows? That's just one of the mysteries that's being communicated between the Holy Ghost and you. And that information, Dave gives this analogy, it's like you're going to spend 1 hour in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. What I mean by that, you're going to spend 1 hour praying in other tongues. It's as if your spirit comes into the classroom, picks a chair, and the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is the Holy Spirit Himself. And if you give him 1 hour praying in other tongues, he is going to communicate the very mysteries of God directly from him to your spirit. So first, it is spiritually discerned. Now, you're going to find out the Holy Spirit is the instructor of your new nature, and your new nature is the instructor of your soul. Have you got that? Now, it is true that we normally can't take action in this world till our soul knows what to do. See, somehow that mind of Christ has to be discerned by the Spirit and then eventually picked up with your intellect, like Peter getting information to go loose the coat. Sooner or later, it does have to get to your soul. And I used to try and bypass the process of spending time with the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit. I am a spirit. He communicates with my spirit first, and it's my spirit that basically turns around and says, hey, soul, let me tell you what I learned in the classroom of the Holy Ghost today. Then you begin understanding what to do. All right? Now we'll get to the two objections. Normally when that happens, let's say my spirit has been in with the Holy Ghost during a classroom session, maybe 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, and I my spirit discerns something. Oh my, this is what the Holy Ghost wants me to do. I'll just pick something. I want you to send your tapes free around the world. Oh, and my spirit rejoices right then. My spirit doesn't have any trouble with that. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus wants us to send our tapes free to 5,000 families in 36 nations around the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So my spirit turns around to my soul, the part of me that reasons, the part of me that is very limited, the part of me that's still fallen. It turns around to my soul and says, I have exciting news for you. And my soul goes, good. What is it? The Holy Spirit revealed to me today that Jesus wants us to send tapes free to 5,000 families in 36 nations around the world. Right there, my soul, normally, and with almost every instruction I've ever gotten from the Holy Ghost, my soul right there has two objections. I can't is number one. And the second one is I don't know how. If you even if you make it past the I can't, then there's the I don't know how. Because the soul, what I mean by that when I say the soul, you know, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. The soul is the part of us that is the intellect. It is the emotions. It is the human will. That part of us. And it's very much concerned with circumstances. Have you noticed? Have y'all noticed that? God will come and tell us something, and boy, as soon as my soul picks it up, and right there, the war is on. I'm either going to be led by my soul now, or I'm going to be led by my spirit and follow Jesus. It's always scary. I like the way Pastor LaRue said it one time, and everybody I know in ministry could echo this. God has never yet called me to do anything I could afford. Jim, can I get a witness? We got any other pastors or ministers in here? He's never yet called me to do anything that I could afford. And here's what you're going to find out even beyond that. God normally that calls you when you really hear from Him. Your soul is partially right. Because normally, What He calls you to do, you can't do without His help. How many of y'all can part the Red Sea with your with the blast of your nostrils? You know? Can't do it. See? But what did you expect to hear? You expect God to give you instructions to accomplish His work without Him? Makes no sense. We're always surprised when God tells us to do something we can't do. And really, we shouldn't be surprised. What do you expect to hear from God? It's always going to be stuff that you can't do. Now, it is a two-way street. Do you know you can do things that God can't do? Heresy. That's it. Blasphemy, I'm leaving now. No, really. He needs you as much as you need Him. Why is it phrased this way? All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, wait a minute. See, if you go ultimate sovereignty, and trust me, I know God is sovereign. Okay? God is sovereign. But see, if you take that too far, your thinking gets out in left field. Because if you take that too far, then you have to stop that sentence at all things are possible. That's not what Jesus said. He said all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you know God needs your believing as much as you need God? If stuff's going to get done on the earth, He's got to speak to somebody who believes Him and acts willing to put your toe in the River Jordan at flood stage and watch the waters back up. That's when the fun starts. That's when scary as all get out. I mean, we was talking earlier about the sin. I remember the time that the Lord opened the door. See, Sue and I, from the day we started this, we have never sat down and had a meeting. How can we build a big ministry? That has never been our motivation. We've never thought like that. We're still not trying to build a ministry. What we do is go pray, get our instructions. We spiritually discern what the Holy Ghost is saying. Then we do our best to obey that one step at a time. And the ministry just happens. Okay? Like how many ministers you know of that's tried to get on TV? I mean, they'll do everything. They'll have pledge drives for the money. They'll try and locate, you know, the TV space or arrange for that. And man, they'll you know, work themselves to the ground trying to get on television. We get a call one day from Sid Roth Ministries, who's got one of the biggest television ministries on earth. I mean, his program reaches millions upon millions, and they want us to come be on it for free. Now, they see that's good and that's scary. If you have a free tape ministry, you get the point? Do you understand what I'm talking about? In the United States alone, his program is seen real heavily all up and down the East Coast and on the West Coast. And then his program is also seen in all of Israel, in the Ukraine and other parts of the former USSR, and over all of Australia. So we're talking millions upon millions of people that are going to see this program. And his own producer got a little scared for us. She said, now, because normally when ministers go on there, they have something, you know, to offer like for sale. Even if it's just a two tape set or something, you know, here we're offering that, we'll discount it. You can have these two tapes for $10. And I said, well, you know, she said, what two tapes could you do like that? And I said, none. Because that's not the way the Lord told us to do it. The way the Lord told us to do it was to make everything free. And then she starts gulp, you know, she starts explaining to me. Now, do you understand, Gary, that this program is seen by many millions of people? Are you really prepared to go on TV to that level and offer free tapes? Gary, do you have millions of dollars in the bank? I mean, she didn't ask me that, but that's the question that's being asked. I gulped for a minute myself, held my hand over my left ear. Listened as hard as I know how to listen. And you know what God said to me? I can afford it. Difference between a good idea. Yeah. It's good to preach the gospel on TV. Yeah. But see, a God idea is when He gets you on Himself. Yeah. Now, as things would have it, that little bitty 30-minute program, and really, It's you don't. How much was it, Sue? We finally, I think we had actual speaking time, Sue and I together, 12 minutes. Because, you know, they got an introduction, and then Sid Roth talks a little bit, and then finally he interviews us a little bit. Then they got another break in the middle, and then Sid talks a little bit. So our total talking time was 12 minutes. Boy, if you ever prayed in your life to try and communicate the mind of Christ in 12 minutes, you know, that was something else. But I'll tell you what, Sue and I left there. I'll be honest with you, we're talking in the car like, how much can you say in 12 minutes? We felt almost like failures, you know, like, boy, we didn't seem like we got to. And besides that, the way he does it is like an interview. So he's leading the conversation, you know, so it really felt like, boy, that just doesn't seem like it accomplished a whole lot, you know. I want you to know what God did with that little 12-minute testimony. We started receiving. Now, we didn't, thank you, Lord, we didn't get a million requests for tapes. Because by the time you get the labels and the postage and the bubble mailer and all of that, it's still about a dollar a tape. So if we would have got a million requests, it would have been $1 million. But we did start getting about 300 requests a week. 300 new families. But see, if they start getting on our mailing list, those of you that's been getting our tapes for a while, you know what we're teaching. It's about a deeper walk, a deeper relationship with the Holy Ghost. And by being on that program, those tapes started going into additional 300 families a week, and that lasted for like, I don't know, maybe 8 weeks before it started tapering off. Glory to God. Around the world, we've gotten testimonies back about how people, once they started getting those tapes, some have repented, some have come back from backsliding, some have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, listening to the tapes. You know? This one family, and I'm not connected with the Sid Roth program. By the way, he's still on the air. It's a good program. He is very evangelistic minded, and he's a Jewish heritage, and he's trying to reach the Jews for Christ. It's a wonderful ministry. But anyway, when you start doing things God's way, that's what, do you understand? Now, there's an example of it being scary. The carnal mind, when his producer asked me that question, are you prepared to offer your tapes free to an audience of millions of people? Now, what do you think my mind said? We can't, and if we do, we don't know how we'll pay for it. See, there's the two things. Boy, right there, you better learn how to spiritually discern. And I'm listening, because I'm telling you, I am a responsible person. Any businessman or anybody in here, you would like to hire me to handle your books. Because I'm honest to the core. I'm good at what I do. And I'll do you a good job. You'll give me a raise and you'll keep me. Because you'll want me to work for you. I'm a responsible type person is what I'm saying. And if we go on the air and promise 1 million people tapes, somehow it's going to happen. You see what I'm saying? But it's scary. And I don't want to go on the air and say something that's not right. That's why I have to hear him. All I had to hear from him was, tell her I can afford it. And by the way, that's what I told her. She's waiting for my answer. Gary, are you really prepared to offer your tapes free to millions of people? Silence. I'm listening. Silence. And then I heard him and I said, Jamie, the Lord says he can afford it. She went, okay. Here we go. Now, see, if we leave here, this is our last night with you this time. I so want your life to change. You know, we're not here. We are here to have a good time. Have you all been having a good time?
Yes.
You know, and I want you to learn. I want you to have a good time. But if your lives don't change, I failed you. I failed you. If at the end of tonight's service, something hasn't clicked on the inside of you that says, I am tired of the walk I've had. I am tired of being limited to only what man can do. I am a child of the living God with whom all things are possible. And I am ready to change my relationship with the Holy Ghost. If He's the one I'm going to follow, and I can only follow Him by spiritually discerning Him, then if getting in the prayer closet is what it takes, then that's what it takes. And make some kind of commitment, because if you don't, Pastor Tim, or Tim Stemple, who is our associate to Dave Roberson, he may or may not have ever originated this phrase, but he's the first one I ever heard say it. I'm going to give you a couple of them. The first one I heard him say is, if you don't plan your prayer time, the devil will steal it. In other words, you'll be... See, I don't know anybody that really loves the Lord, especially that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know anybody that would tell me, I just flat don't plan on praying next week. How many of y'all ever look to your wife or your friend and says, I'm just not going to pray. I'm just making my mind up ahead. That's not the normal attitude of the people that I meet. Normally, they already know they need to pray more. And they have good intentions. I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to get in there in prayer myself. And it's not that you don't mean it. But if you don't do something concrete to change what's been happening. The other phrase that Tim Stemple has is this. Whatever took you out of prayer last week, that's what the devil looks like in your life right now. Even if it was good things, like your job, your grandchildren, your ministry. See, because if you separate the supply line, any general knows you can defeat an army without a single shot if you can cut their supply lines from headquarters. You cut off their fuel, you cut off their food, you cut off all the supplies. It's just a matter of time. They will surrender. When you lose your prayer life, and I mean lose it long term, now it's not a matter of if you're going to be taken out by the enemy. Now it's just a matter of when. I so urge you, please don't leave your prayer life to chance. Determine tonight, before your head hits the pillow this evening, determine tonight at least some minimum standard to start. I am going to start praying. You fill in the blank. I think your first goal should be 1 hour. Because Jesus just said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? But if that's too much to begin, make it 15 minutes. But schedule it. Know tonight when you're going to do that prayer tomorrow. Set it like you would a dentist appointment or a doctor appointment. And don't let... I normally carry a cell phone right here because we're busy people. The Lord blesses busy people. We're busy working for Him. And we have a staff at home and things arise and Jim was with us. They've called us 2 or 3 times while we've been together. But when I'm in my prayer closet, that thing has an off button. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm in a meeting with Him who owns me. Yeah. I will talk with you later. Yeah, but it's important. It's not as important as what He says. It's not as important as what He says. He's the one that died for me. You didn't. And if it's that important, He'll tell me to call you. By the way, that happened today. I want to get closer so we can pick you up on the microphone.
It's hard to get up like this. Stop your teaching. But the Holy Spirit got me up this morning at 5 o'clock, which is pretty normal, and sometimes I don't get up. But I got right in the prayer closet and started speaking in tongues for a half hour. Then I started reading the Bible and speaking in tongues in a half hour. And I read John 14 and Acts 2, mm-hmm. Exact same scriptures. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, you'd have to pray 8 hours to get an answer from the Holy mm-hmm. Ghost, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. Then today I asked the Holy Spirit what to give Gary, you know. Mm-hmm. And he told me right away. And I told my wife, you know, what should we give? You know, I asked her to pray about it. Mm-hmm. And on the way here, she said, I got the figure. And she told me it's exactly to the
point. Hallelujah.
And it's just... I mean,
glory to God.
It's just like I never had a move like that. So obvious. Just an hour.
Isn't it amazing?
Just an hour.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think a consistent prayer life? This, you're a businessman, right?
Right. I know.
He's going, I know. Yeah. Now, see, if that sort of thing began happening after an hour, what if a businessman has a consistent time fellowshipping? Pray, thank you for standing up. Is that, give him a hand. That's Steve. Glory to God. I was fixing to give an example very much like that because Sue and I are normal. Now, when you're out on the road like this, of course, see, Jesus is alive and well. He knows. Do y'all know Jesus knows that I'm not at home? You reckon He knows that we're on the road and that our normal routine is disrupted right now? Yeah, is the Lord on my... I'm pretty sure He is, yeah. He asked if the Lord was on my mailing list. I'm pretty sure He is. He gets our itinerary, you know. So He knows that right now, you know, my schedule is disrupted. I mean, the whole purpose is not just... See, prayer is not the end result. If you really want to know the truth, your call is the end result. What He's called you to do, either to the lost, to the body of Christ, whatever it is. So it's not like, you know, we're not making an idol out of prayer. No, there's only one Lord that we worship, and that's Jesus. But we're trying to be about His business, and really His business, not stuff we dream up in His name. And there's a big difference. So even while we're on the road like this, whatever time we can, you know, if we're not actually talking, you know, I've told you before, Sue and I, we've learned how to pray softly or it doesn't disrupt people, you know. In the line at Walmart, getting gas in the car, you hardly see my lips moving. And if you do see me and think I'm crazy, what do I care? What do I care? But in the same way, Steve, this morning, as soon as I woke up, just, I can't say it was a voice. I don't know if it was a voice or by revelation, but I discerned that there was a certain bill at home that had not been paid. I knew it was due on the 6th. Today's the 8th. I made a phone call. Sure enough, it had gotten in the wrong stack, hadn't been paid, got paid. Is that good stuff or what? Now, is that detail? See, the Holy Ghost knows what's going on at my house, at our home, at the ministry, even when we're here. Now, how valuable, businessmen, is that kind of counselor?
Yes.
How valuable is that kind of counselor? What you heads of households that are still raising your children when they get to be teenagers? I don't want to embarrass. I embarrass my kids all the time. It's a good thing they're saved and that they pray a lot, so that they don't get mad at me for telling stuff. Two different times, our oldest daughter. Now I'm sure there's a lot of times, but on two occasions, the Holy Ghost alerted me that the enemy was planning on something really serious bad happening to her. And Sue is my witness. Aaron, if she was here, she's given witness before when she's here. Two different times he sent me after her when she was out on a date. I had no idea where they was going. I had no idea what was going to be happening. But guess who did? Now, if you want to really shock your teenage daughter, have her be somewhere where she's not supposed to be, with somebody she's not supposed to be with, and have Daddy pull in his pickup in the parking spot next to him. Twice. Why? Because the Holy Ghost just, you know, He loves her. We spend enough time with Him, we're able to spiritually discern some things. Now, those two times, he never did tell me what the enemy's ultimate plan was. But boy, it had to be bad for him to do that. Because there's a lot of... She's told me, see, in her 30s and they made it. See, I'm really glad now I didn't kill any of my daughters. I'm really glad now I didn't kill them. I mean, there was a time when I thought maybe the best thing. But anyway, just for the planet's sake. I mean, you know... But they're all saved and spirit-filled, and they all three work for us in the ministry now.
Hallelujah.
They're actually working with us. I hate to even say that. But they're all three. And our new son-in-law, Kyle, that's Aaron's husband. Boy, did God send her a man of God.
Yeah.
We are just so thankful. But see, all three of them now, now they tell us stuff that they would never have told us before. Because Aaron, that's the one he sent me after twice. She told me, she says, boy, she said, I have no idea. Because there was a lot of nights, Daddy, when I was in places I shouldn't have been and doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And some bad things did happen. So she said, it scares me what the devil had planned those two nights. Those two nights. Only twice in all those years did he send me. Isn't that wonderful? See, Jesus said, where are you? 1 Corinthians 2. Go back to John 14 for a minute. Is this good stuff? Are you getting anything out of this? I am. I'm going to listen to this tape. I like it. Hallelujah. See, we were in John 14 earlier. And where Jesus was talking about sending us another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And I really recommend you take Pastor Jim up, especially if this is your first night, on getting those free tapes of these meetings. Because he had me minister, it was either last night or the night before. Boy, there's some good information he gave me about him abiding with you forever and not just when your performance meets certain standards. Okay? And that's on those tapes, and we're just not going to have time to do that again. But see, come on down there in John 14. Let's come on down to verse 18. Well, verse 17. Okay, go to Genesis 1. It's all good. No. We'll just get from Genesis 1 to here. But anyway, let's start in verse 16 again, I guess. And I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter. Now, I will tell you this. I'm not really a Greek scholar. Jim is more of that than I am. And I'm open for correction if this isn't right. When he says another comforter, there are two Greek words that you could translate another. One of them means another of different kind. And one of them means another of the same kind. This one is the one that means another of the same kind. In other words, it is a distinct, separate, different person, but he's just like me. Same, he's a comforter like I'm a comforter. Okay? Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees... Now, get this. I didn't see this till right now. This is preaching my message. This is why we have so much trouble. See, remember that over there in... This is good stuff, Jim. Over there in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man can't receive the things of God. He can't... But why? He's natural. He's governed by his five senses. And look at this. The world can't receive the Spirit. Why? It can't see Him. It doesn't know Him. You got to follow. If you're going to follow a Spirit, you have to spiritually discern Him. That's why you must be born again. You've got to have a nature on the inside of you that has the capacity to follow Him, to spiritually discern Him. Boy, that's good stuff. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Now get this next verse. This is where I was headed. I will not leave you comfortless. That word in the Greek is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. In the margin of my Bible, it just plainly means orphans. Now, when I think of orphans, how many of y'all have seen, either read the book or seen the movie Tale of Two Cities? You know, it's around that period of time in England. And when I think of orphans, I think of these little ragamuffins, you know. Picture in your mind two orphan children. Maybe the boy is 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, and he is the sole provider for his 5-year-old sister in England during that time. Can you see them out on the streets and they've got just kind of dressed in just raggedy clothes? They have no provider. They have no one that's going to teach them. They have no one. And so he feels the responsibility. Can you see them going down through those dark and dangerous streets with all kinds of, you know, predators, you know, child, and they had child molesters in too, you know. You talk about the picture of an orphan. No one to provide for you. No one to guide you. No one to feed you. No one to teach you. You're totally on your own. And sadly, that's the way 98% of most Christians feel when it comes to their leader. That's why they lean so heavy on their pastors. That's why they call us with all of these questions, because they can't receive it from the Holy Ghost. And it's not their fault. It is the fault of the shepherds who have fleeced them rather than teach them. Boy, don't get me going there. It's just a whole lot easier to keep the sheep in a nice little pen of the law and keep them ready for easy shearing at your will than it is to open the gates and teach the sheep how to follow their shepherd. Just a big difference in those two operations. That's another part of that prophecy, is it not? Boy, God's tying this together in ways I'd never seen before. All right? Boy, I may have to go preach that now. No. Where was I going? Back, the orphans. The orphans. See, and Jesus is trying to convey to us, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I bet Peter's going, good, I don't even want you leaving. But see, so I imagine Peter at that moment thought, good, he's leaving, but he's coming right back. Well, in a way he is, but not the way he did before. Peter is going to have total 100% access to his Lord's mind. He is going to have 100% access to his Lord's power. He's going to have 100% total access to his Lord's love, his Lord's fellowship, but it's going to come through another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And this whole operation is going to change from being led by what Peter can see and what Peter can physically hear to now what Peter can physically, spiritually discern. Everything the Holy Spirit does, he is not trying to take over the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is trying to enforce the Lordship of Jesus Christ by making it available to us to hear his will. Getting close to the 9 o'clock hour. I want to go back to that part about all things are possible to him that believeth. People, if he trains you like he trained me, is all I can say, he's going to start with some very simple things. The very first rattle out of the box, he's not going to translate you, I don't think. Now, he's God, he can do what he wants. But I don't think he's going to physically translate you to another country to win the Muslims. You know, like, one instant you're sitting here, the next instant you're in Budapest. Whew. God can still do that, you know. You know, he's going to train you and prepare you for that first. Okay? He goes, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But now watch it. I want to show you the connection between all things are possible to him that believeth. Now watch this, how God needs us in the same... He needs us to make this work. He needs us in the earth. This is not a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. Now let's get real simple now. We're going to do something that's just so low everybody can understand it. Do you all understand $10 bill? Now what if... Let's just take a hypothetical case. What if it is the mind of Jesus... Picture Jesus on the throne. You do know he's alive. He is literally there. He has a mind. He has, you know, the will of the Father to be done. Let's say it occurs in his mind. He wants you to give $10 to some real orphan. That's his mind. And let's say, who wants to be an orphan? You an orphan? Okay, she went. Okay, she's not an orphan, but she's going to pretend to be an orphan. Let's just say she's the orphan. And it's in the mind of Jesus. He wants somebody in here, now not everybody, but somebody, to give her $10, and I mean right now. Okay? Let anybody do it. This is a hypothetical. Okay? She's going, no, it's the mind of Christ. So now what's going to happen? Who is the go-between? This is in Jesus' mind, in this little teaching example, it's in the mind of Jesus, and he wants somebody to give her $10. All right? The Holy Spirit knows that, does he not? He is there and he is here. He is in you and he is with you and he's there. Hold your hand over your left ear. Okay? We have trouble with that, but that's... So he knows. He picks it up that Jesus wants somebody here to give her $10. Well, what's the Holy Spirit going to do? He starts speaking that in the hearts of virtually everybody here. Unless the Lord had a specific person, which he might. But let's just say he didn't... In this case, he didn't care. He just wanted somebody to pick up on it. Now, you're sitting here and you're listening to me. How many of you know you're more wonderfully created than you realize? And even while you're listening, the Holy Ghost can get a thought to you. And so that thought comes, you know, and I'm going to pick on people that I know love me. Say, it comes to Don. Here comes the Holy Ghost. $10. Give $10 to the orphan. And he goes, it's not like he doesn't, you know, what was that? He discerns something about $10. What? I'm sorry. Right now, I hardly know my wife's name.
Wanda.
I know them, but and maybe Don turns to Wanda. Wanda, did you get anything about $10? And maybe she went. I think he might want us to give $10 to somebody. But you see, if you're not used to this, sometimes it's hard to translate that spiritual discernment into action. If you're not, the more you spend time with him, the sharper that will get. So let's say they don't get it clear enough. They would do it, but they just didn't get it clear enough to act on it. So it keeps coming around. I can't use you. You're the Holy Ghost. let's say it comes around over here. Now, this would never happen. I already know them well enough. But let's say they pick it up and they get it. They understand it all. Oh, the Holy Spirit wants us to give $10 to that orphan right over there. And let's say they got it. And this is the part that would never happen because I know them. But let's say they're just the stingy type. They're just the stingy type. And they're going, well, I just don't know. Look at her. I'm not sure that I just don't know. I think we'll just keep our $10. Now, that would never happen. You understand? Now, what's the Holy Spirit doing? Now, he's got to keep moving, see? He goes over to somebody who's really free. his name is free. Now, can y'all see? But see, eventually, he'll just keep moving and moving until somebody that is trained enough, spiritually discerned enough, spend enough time with him that can not only comprehend it, but also he's dealt with their heart enough to where they'll, this is the part that where he needs us. See, Jesus can want to give her $10 till certain place freezes over. He has no body, no literal body on the earth except ours.
That's
what it means when we are the body of Christ. During Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, he could have walked over and give her $10 himself. But we are his body now. And that's why all things are possible to him that believeth. Somebody has to heareth, and somebody has to be dead enough to reach in their wallet and openeth. But his hand is your hand. Somebody has to take the $10 out and give it to her. Otherwise, it is not possible. Now, that's a real low-level example that everybody can understand. But it starts on that level. He had us do that very thing one time. Here's another God idea. This was when money was staying away from us in great abundance. I mean, $10 then meant a whole lot more than $10 now. Okay? I mean, it was a lot of money. We're in the church service. We're sitting in a certain area. It comes offering time. We're minding our own business, but we have been praying a lot in the Holy Ghost. And it comes offering time, and I hear him. Boy, I hear that voice because I've sharpened myself. I've spent time in his presence. I hear him. It's happened with Sue before, too. In fact, she hears him a lot of times more. I hate to admit that. But she hears him a lot of times a lot better than I do. But anyway, this time I happened to hear it. And the Holy Ghost said, and it's offering time, and the Holy Ghost says, give that lady right up there $10 now. I mean, I heard it like that. Now. My first thought, I hate to admit this, my first thought was, maybe I don't have $10. I'm learning to hear his voice like you're learning to hear his voice. And I'm thinking, maybe that's just me. Maybe I don't have $10. Open up my wallet. Guess what was in it? $10. Guess what was all that was in it? $10. Boy, I got it though, because we learn it. And we want to, I want to show ourselves faithful and little. Grab that $10. Kind of went like this, didn't want to make a big deal. Then, you know, it's offering time, it's going on. And the bucket's getting right close to her. Come right up there. I just handed her that $10. And immediately when she's, you know, just put it in her hand, where nobody could hardly see it, and went back, immediately, tears. I'm going, what in the world? Found out later after this, and she put that $10 in the offering bucket, is what she did. Come to found out later, her and her husband were in a real desperate time. They had been taught the sowing and reaping. I mean, if you're desperate, God will not move for you unless you give.
Yeah.
At the moment I slipped the $10 in her hand, she was taking her wedding band off to put into the offering plate so maybe they could get a little help from God. I hate religion.
Yeah.
I hate it. So does God. God did not want her giving up her wedding ring. And he knew what she had been taught wasn't the truth about him anyway. And he said if he could find any servant here, anybody that could hear and obey, she'll get to keep her wedding ring. And know that God's listening and God's aware of her problem. That, my friends, was a God idea.
Yeah.
Not just a good idea. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes.
But see, it's wonderful to hear those things. I like hearing them again myself. It encourages me. But again, if I leave and your life doesn't change, I failed you. I'm so glad Steve obeyed the Lord and gave that testimony. Got up and says, even 1 hour. Sue and I went through that same process, by the way, because we know the Holy Ghost, when it comes to giving, how many of y'all know He understands we're married? He doesn't want strife in the house. He doesn't want division in the house. He's not going to tell me one amount to give and her another amount to give. So you know what we did? We began practicing hearing God on purpose. We told God what we was going to do. And boy, in the beginning, we didn't always hear Him the same. And it might be quite a bit different. Okay? But as time went on, and we kept praying, and so it'd come offering time. And we you know, it was just a standard thing. I'm going to listen, you listen. And then we'll compare. Boy, after a little while though, maybe that time, so, well, I got $50. What'd you get? And we promised to be honest with each other. She'd go, $50. We'd go, high five! Right in church. We didn't care. High five. We're learning how to do this, see? Okay? Now the very next time around, you know, because we're in the learning process, and He knows that. Hey, you got to get the real image of God. Religion keeps telling you He's standing there with a big ball bat, and boy, you better not mess up. Man, you mess up, whacko. Now let's see now. How many of y'all have children? Can I see your hands? When your children were your first child, boy, you couldn't wait till they started taking that first step, right? Remember? And the day comes. Maybe you're sitting on the couch and there's the baby playing on the floor. And he gets a hold of the coffee table. And the wife's in the kitchen. Myrtle, you better get in here. Sure enough, the little baby gets himself up. And he's kind of wobbly there with his hands on the coffee table. And you go, come here. And the little kid's looking at you all grinning. And he's, let's go with the coffee table, and takes that first step. You and Myrtle are watching, and you're, glory to God, you know. And then the very next step, he falls. Which one of you parents went over and kicked that baby up against the wall? What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? Take falling, kick, kick. You know, that's the image religion paints of God.
Yeah.
Here we're doing our best trying to learn how to discern the leadership of the Holy Ghost. So we hit it one time and maybe the next time we're missing it. Well, you think God's standing there with a big bat ready to whack us? He's going, no, you took a good step last time. What do you really do when that baby falls? You've done good. Here, let me help you back up. Bring some chocolate. We love you, baby. Do it again. Come on, do it again. Isn't that the way we do? That's the way God is. You step out, you miss it a little bit. He's glad you stepped out. He's with you. He's going to bring the chocolate. I love you. Do it again. Come on. I'm for you, not against you. Boy, get that image. We're in a family, not a religion. God is our Father.
Yes.
Amen. But we kept practicing, and I'm telling you, it is amazing now how often. Almost 100% of the time. And it can be a little. It can be a lot. Not always $10 and $50 no more. Sometimes.
That's what you say. Pray some more.
Yeah, pray some more. You know?
Just to make sure,
you know? Y'all getting the point? Hallelujah. Now see, I could have an altar call, but see, I can't give you my relationship with God. That's why I'm pouring my everything that I know how into this service with everything that I know to do so that it will impact you enough where tomorrow your prayer life is different than yesterday and where next week your prayer life is different than last week. We're going into a wonderful time. That prophecy kind of sounded scary. No, it's wonderful. Because God is drawing a remnant out of religion. that is going to see life. And by that I mean everything you've ever seen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. The real gospel, where people not only get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, but the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the maimed are made whole, and on occasion, when needed, even the dead are raised. That's the only gospel Jesus knows anything about. And that's the one we're fixing to inherit. I want to walk with Him, not with religion. My counsel, please get in the prayer closet. Start spending some time with the Holy Ghost. 15 minutes at a time, but commit to it. Commit to it and set the time. Treat it like you would a doctor's appointment. Don't let anything interfere with that. You get consistent. If He finds you faithful in little, He will make you stewards over much. Amen? Did you get anything out of that?
Amen.
Give the Lord praise. Pastor Jim, hallelujah.